It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a great privilege it is for us to be able to study the Word of God. I think of those people around the world today who do not have the privilege that we do in the United States of America. Now, there may come a time when we are subject to persecution just like others throughout the world. And there are people today who are giving their lives for their testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be thankful that we're able to listen to the radio and listen to TV and read the scriptures and understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. It's so good to be able to share God's Word with each other and to share God's Word as we look at it personally, as we have devotion with the Lord personally, private devotions with our Savior, Jesus Christ, by studying His Word. Well, today we're going to look in the book of Revelation. And this is going to be study number one, a three-part series on the book of Revelation. Now, I know that in the past, the past studies that we've done on it's a bird's eye view, a study of the New Testament, we've looked at one station for each book. But this one's going to be just a little bit different. And even by separating it into three different sections, we're still not going to get an in-depth study. But my goal here, once again, is to give you an overview of what God has for us in the book of Revelation. Well, the author of the book is the Apostle John, and he wrote this while he was exiled on the island of Patmos. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." And it goes on to say in verse 2, "who bear record," well, this is John bearing record, of course, "who bear record of the word of God." Well, verse 19 of chapter 1 says this, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." So the one who penned this down, and I believe without a doubt, is the Apostle John, and he was the Apostle. Well, the date of this writing was during the time of the 6th emperor of Rome. And you can go back and read the book of Daniel, and it talks about this. It was probably written around AD 78, and you can look in conjunction with this in Revelation 17, verses 1 through 18. Now, let me remind you that at the end of the programs, each program we have, you can listen, and the announcer is going to give you addresses to websites where you can go and you can listen to these programs once again, and you can have your pencil, paper, ink pen, whatever you're wanting to write with, your Bible open, and you can study these scriptures once again that we're going through. And right now we're going through the book of Revelation. And when I say going through it, we're hitting some high points here. Well, the setting for the book of Revelation is written to Christians who were feeling defeated in the first century. It deals with their problems and it gives them answers. We need to know the history of that time as well as the Old Testament to understand the book at its best. And it is a book tied to the Old Testament prophecy and figures. Once again, the key verses here, I believe, are Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and actually chapters 4 and 5 contain the key verses of the book of Revelation. Now, what about the purpose of the book? The purpose of the book, once again, is to present Jesus Christ. This is actually the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of John, but it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation by John of Jesus Christ, the revealing of, in other words, letting us know about Jesus Christ. It's the unveiling of Jesus. Well, notice, First of all, he's unveiled, that's Jesus, he's unveiled as the king. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, chapter 5, let me say this, that in verse 13, chapter 19, and verses 11 through 16, And first in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." And now I've mentioned these verses just now, but let's read another one. Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Of course, that's speaking of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, you can go ahead and read chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, and you'll see a reference to Jesus as the King. Well, we also see that Jesus is unveiled or revealed as a lion, the victor. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Now listen very carefully now in verse 5 as we continue reading. "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Well, and here's the word lion again here. It says, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Jesus Christ is the Lion. Jesus Christ is the victor. He's seen as the victor throughout the Word of God, and we see him as the victor in the book of Revelation. Well, notice also we see him as a lamb. Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 14 talks about this. And we go back up and it talks about him being a lion in chapter 5 and verse 5. But notice verse 6 of chapter 5. It says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elder stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Jesus Christ is not only pictured as the victor, as the lion, also as the king, but he's also pictured as the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And this is what the Bible tells us. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was worthy enough to open the book, as we've just read, because he gave his life that you and I could have life. Well, then we go on and read Revelation. We find out that Christ gives messages to seven churches here. John's vision contains instruction for these seven churches found in Asia Minor at that time. And I believe that he's writing to us today as well. Now, we look at this and we need to remember that God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it was not only written for the admonition of those people living back during the time that the words were penned down, but it's written for our admonition today as well. And we need to take it to heart and understand that he's giving us guidance. He's giving us instruction as to how to live, as to how to proclaim his word. All scripture is God-breathed. God is the author. Well, as we read on, we see that the first church at Ephesus, we see this church he's writing to. The Bible tells us there that they were to remember. They were to repent. And they were to, what they were to do, repent. They were to remember from whence, the source from where they had fallen. They had fallen from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that they were lost. It simply means that they had turned their back on our Lord. He says, repent. Turn about with the attitude of going in a different direction, with true sorrow for neglecting to do what is known to be right. And Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5 talks about that. Well, then, He says, do the first works, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. The first works. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. We are to love the Lord. And we, and as once again, as we think of this, as we get our lives in line, and as we remember to love the Lord with all our hearts, these things will fall into place. Well, the second church that's mentioned is Smyrna. Be faithful, he says. The third church is Pergamos. Repent. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 16 talks about that. And then the fourth church, Thyatira. Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. Hold fast, he says. In Revelation chapter 18 and chapter 2, verses 18 through 25 talks about that. Thyatira was a church about 40 miles east of Pergamos. Lydia, whom Paul met at Philippi, was from Thyatira. And the letter to Thyatira is the central and longest of the seven epistles that we read of. Well, then the fifth church is Sardis in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Imperfect works is talked about here, and imperfect works is a sign of a dead church. We need to live for the Lord and understand that He gives life. And we are to continue on with our work as a lively group, as people who proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior of the world, and one who can take us all the way when we need to understand that God is the author and finisher, and He is the one who's going to take us to heaven. Well, the sixth church is Philadelphia, the faithful church. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10 talks about that, and this church has a little strength and has kept His word and has not denied His name. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8 talks about that. Then the seventh church, Laodicea, was a lukewarm church, and it made God sick at His stomach. And it's a shame. We see many of those churches around today. They're just lukewarm. They're really not serving God. And then we see in chapter 4, in verse 1, we see the church taken out. Now, all these churches that we've mentioned here. Now, remember, the church that concerns us is what we're a member of the church today. We're a member, and I pray that you are also a member of the local church. But one day, the rapture of the church will take place. In verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. The open door, seen in chapter 3 and verse 8, is what we just looked at. No one can prevent or stop the rapture, according to verse 8 of chapter 3. And it's the Lord Himself who will be in charge. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, talks about the rapture of the church. Well, we're going to continue next time with a second study in the book of Revelation. And I trust you know Him today as your Savior. And if you do, you need to be living for Him and telling others, don't be lukewarm. Get on fire for the Lord, telling other people about Jesus Christ. Help your brothers and sisters to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Help them to study the Word of God. Let them know that you love them in the Lord. And let the unsaved people of this world know that you love them by sharing Jesus Christ with them, telling them that they too can be saved and on their way to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.